Becky Lynch kicks 5 lasses, plus the hottest free agent in sports entertainment finally scores a contract. Vote for Rhino and stay tuned to the AfterBuzz TV Backlash After Show.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
You all have been waiting so long to hear this one. Yeah. I know it. Hey, everybody. Welcome. This is the AfterBuzz TV WWE SmackDown Backlash Pay-Per-View After Show. It's a mouthful, and there was a lot of action coming from Richmond, Virginia. This was, of course, the very first SmackDown-branded pay-per-view. I thought it was fantastic. We're going to break it all down for you. My name is Christy Olsen, and you guys can always share your opinions on the show with me at Christy Reports. I also have the live chat rolling. We are on YouTube and SoundCloud, plus iTunes. Please give us a 5-star rating and leave us a little comment. Let us know what you think about the show. And when I say we, it wouldn't be any fun if I was sitting here by myself, right? Let me introduce to you Mr. George Hermosa.
You had no chance, CM Punk, but correction, it's not the first SmackDown only pay-per-view, but the first in a long time.
In the new era.
The first in a long time.
In the new era.
But I'm George Hermosa, GHERMOZA, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitch, that I don't play video games.
All right. We also have joining us tonight the Steve Kaufman, who had you all wrangled and getting your predictions in. Tell him what we're going to talk about.
We are going to talk about the AfterBuzz TV Predictions Championship, which is no longer defended and won by us, the hosts.
That's right.
A little bit later, we're going to get into a lot of you guys' predictions. Thank you so much for predicting. But you can find me on Twitter, at Steve Kaufman. That is KaufManN.
And joining us tonight, I was going to say for the first time, but I know you filled in for a bunch of us when we were at WrestleMania,
yes,
right?
Very
so
true.
Christian Cole is here. Christian, where can they find you?
You can find me at XDN Cole. Search Christian Cole on Twitter, Instagram, all the social mediums. And you can find me on Paragon Pro Wrestling, a fantastic independent television show for pro wrestling. I love doing it. Thanks for having me, by the way, Christy. Appreciate it.
Yes, well, you're very welcome, and thank you for having me at
so
Paragon.
So formal. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know.
Yes.
I know.
So
polite
here,
too. Well, I cannot wait to hear what you guys have to say about this show. Like I said, I think it was a good one. Kicked off with a pre-show. We saw Baron Corbin try to give a little attitude. Heath and Rhino. Alexa came and sat at the table with everybody with her Harley Quinn. Look, it's Harley Quinn,
yes,
right?
Yes, please.
Yeah, and I'm learning new things today, but she looked fantastic. This all led into a match between Apollo Crews versus Baron Corbin. I know, maybe we didn't pay a whole lot of attention to this one. It was sort of a classic good guy versus bad guy, and it was right where it needed to be on the pre-show.
Yes.
Sure.
I couldn't help but see this as the battle of the people, like the battle for a roster spot, if you will. Because there's essentially two people up from NXT when they only needed one. Because that's how I feel about Baron Corbin, that's how I felt about Neville. More Apollo Crews than Baron Corbin, but I feel like there's just one too many NXT person up. That said, these two guys had a great match.
They had a surprisingly good match, and I think it left them both looking pretty strong. Baron Corbin came kind of back into it with the End of Days at the very end and pinned Apollo Crews for the win.
I think Baron Corbin is best suited when he's facing like a very athletic guy.
Yeah.
I think when he's kind of faced or matched up against maybe like a Kane or maybe like a, not to say he's faced him, but like a, who's the guy? Braun Strowman or Eric Rowan. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like you don't see the best of Baron Corbin. The best Baron Corbin that we saw in NXT was when he was facing in a tag match against Chad Gable and Jason Jordan or against,
guys, even against
Kalisto or things like that. So I'm happy to see a very athletic and very fun match to watch.
Yeah. I really, really enjoy watching Apollo Crews.
I can take Baron Corbin or leave him, but Apollo Crews is fun.
I like that Baron Corbin's character and ultimate goal as a character is to just like, no, I'm not going to flip. I'm not going to walk around. You're going to do all that for me. I'm going to beat you down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Baron Corbin's style for me reminds me a little bit of Randy Orton circa 2014, 2013 when he would do the Garvin stomp. I mean, he still does at times, but there was this sort of methodic, slow-paced wrestling, heel wrestling that Randy would do, and and it tends to get heat from the fans wrestling in that manner. And now you see that Baron's sort of using it. Baron knows he has that real X-Pac heat. Mm-hmm. No offense, that's a term, you know what I'm saying? And so what you have now is you have Baron Corbin working slow, using that heat that everyone has, these sort of internet fans that don't like him, using it to his advantage. I think it's working for him because I certainly don't like Baron Corbin. So if he's a heel, he's doing his job, and that's the way it goes. You know. So.
And thank you for that little reminder for me to remind everybody to please watch our brand new AfterBuzz TV show, X-Pac 12360, featuring Sean Waltman, producer James Frank, and myself. We have had Billy Gunn and Scott Hall as guests thus far. You do not want to miss it. Subscribe on iTunes. Thank you for that.
I set it up and you knock it down, Christy Olsen. That's how we do it.
Here we are. Well, since we're on a roll, let's roll right into the main show for tonight. Backlash opened with a 9/11 tribute, mm-hmm. sort of just a screen roll text. You know, it made me miss our big national anthem Lillian Garcia moments. I know we did have one recently, but it just reminded me how much we're going to miss her from there, even though we're still going to be getting her elsewhere.
I also think they definitely did the national anthem, but they probably did it an hour before they made that role.
Mm-hmm. Right, because JoJo's on the international tour, mm-hmm. so who would have sung it?
That's actually really funny. Just kind of reminds me, just going back, that just kudos to WWE. Obviously, 15 years ago, you know, never forget, they were kind of the first to kind of have that live event just 2 days after that tragic event. So, again, they're really good at kind of getting your mind off of that and also kind of adding in some entertainment, like just to kind of, hey, you know.
And honestly, guys, what better medium is there other than professional wrestling to sort of cheer people up when they are down? With all the issues that we have in the world, pro wrestling, and I'm sure all the wrestling fans at home can attest to this. This is why we love pro wrestling. It is our moment to escape from reality. And for the wrestling haters who always get in your face and talk about what's real and what's not, that's the whole point. That's why we love wrestling. It is to take us away from reality. We are not being fooled by anything. We are there to enjoy these moments that WWE can provide from us, to take us away from some of the real serious issues in life. We don't have to think. We could just watch awesome wrestling, and that's what we saw tonight. Kudos to WWE for the tribute.
That's right. It was a great way to open the show. Was followed by Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan coming out. I have to say, I know I'm not supposed to give my opinion first, but I didn't love this. It felt very like another episode of Raw. Felt like them coming out, blah, blah, blah. I wanted to see some wrestling. And of course, we expected that maybe this would be an Orton announcement. Yeah. And that we didn't get that. It seemed unnecessary to me. What did you guys think?
Them saying something at the top of the show felt necessary because this is the first brand exclusive pay-per-view since the draft. Okay. So I understand the need for them to come out and say, this is what we're doing, we're awesome, this is why, and here's our first match.
I just hope it's not an every time occurrence.
I hope that. I also think the Shane McMahon opening kind of did that. That you didn't really need them to come out to the ring. Or even if it was just Shane McMahon from the ramp without two people's entrances and they come all the way to the ring, where Shane McMahon just from the ramp, hey guys, I run SmackDown, I run the order, and I want you to see this match first. This is the first thing I want you to see. This is the first thing I want to represent us and our brand. Mm-hmm. And what will separate us from Raw. And then he doesn't take too much spotlight away, because once you walk to the ring and then you're with another person, that's two entrances. Like,
agreed.
You eat a good 12 minutes before the match happens. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I felt about this.
Agreed, 100%. Well, I would like to turn it over to our chat roll now, who I would like to thank for the segue into this first match, because they're complimenting my shirt, which says, Nitro Girls, this is old school, and I'm telling you, I wore this shirt because I loved me some Nitro Girls, but women have come a long way in this business, and we saw that firsthand tonight.
Yes.
In this very first match. We had Becky Lynch versus Natalya versus Naomi versus Alexa Bliss versus Carmella versus the Nikki Bella in a six-pack elimination challenge for the inaugural SmackDown Women's Championship. Now, I gotta tell ya, when Naomi came out, it seemed like the actual official start to this pay-per-view. Felt like something was finally happening. We loved that entrance, and I was like, okay, kicking it off. Let's do it, ladies. So, we got them all out there, and this match started. It was an absolute story that was told. Were you guys feeling it as much as I am?
Yes. I was definitely feeling this match. I enjoyed that they gave, like, they put them up top. They put them on up top to specifically give them the 14 minutes they gave them.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't take that. Obviously, it's a six match.
Like longer. Wow.
I know, right? Like, yeah. I just had to pull it up very quickly because it felt like 20. But it was a good 14 where it was just like, oh, they covered all their ground.
Naomi took out Becky and Natty almost pretty close to the top. And then she kind of shined in the spot with Becky. Carmella stayed outside. Mm. Right away at first. I thought this whole thing was being set up for a Carmella Nikki Bella finish.
Here's one thing I noticed, that everyone had an entrance.
Mm-hmm.
And then Carmella and Nikki had a video in before the match started. And I was watching this in a room with other people who aren't following wrestling. Mm-hmm. And they said, wait, so this match is really between the two of them? What? Why are the other four people there? If you just, it looks like they just want to have the John Cena girlfriend one and the Italian one just fight. They, but they
this
don't
is
watch
also
the
a technique that yeah. they use to continue to remind you of the storylines mm-hmm. they want you to pay attention
Absolutely.
To, which is very important because ultimately Nikki Bella is the most over girl. Mm-hmm. You can argue Becky has gotten there, but with Nikki Bella, she's a celebrity mm-hmm. beyond wrestling. Mm-hmm. And so to really accent the potential feud that she's going into with Carmella, it's very important. I thought they produced the segment very mm-hmm. well. I thought the match went really well. The finish was awesome. Mm-hmm. Really good stuff, and great to see Becky finally get that championship rub that she deserves.
Like you said, it kind of goes to show that, yes, it is about the women's championship, but it sometimes kind of transcends more than just what the title is. It's like Nikki and Carmella, it's like they hate each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, don't forget about that, you know? And it's going to make the match a lot more sense when they're kind of left in the ring alone and kind of finally get to...
And that's actually what I explained to them. And I was like, that actually means they're the only two that won't win the championship because they already have something to do.
Right.
That those two were... The one will cost the other the championship and then one of the other four will win. And they were like, no. And then Becky... And then it didn't go down that. Then it went down that way.
I think Becky was like the obvious choice, which is why I think that maybe they were going to give it to Naomi for
yeah.
kind of like an oddball reason. But definitely Becky. I mean, she's the one. Yes, she's only been on the main roster for about a year, but she's probably the one that deserves the most out of all of them, just based on her career, her path, just everything.
And that's what our fans thought.
Becky. I can't tell you how good it is to sit on this panel with Christian Cole, a man who actually can admit that Nikki Bella is over and is awesome.
So, she is so
thank
over.
Thank you, Christian.
She's so
thank
over.
You.
And for just a second, I have to, because every time I come in here and do AfterBuzz coverage on any professional wrestling, I always put her over as somebody who really started from the bottom, now mm-hmm. she's here. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, it's like... Yeah, she didn't do the indies. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that she was a supermodel that was booked on WWE shows and has turned into a great wrestler. Like, I mean, come on. And she kills it, and she killed it tonight. And good for Nikki for not just resting on the laurels of the E! Network and being part of that reality mm-hmm. show, but to say, you know what? You're going to put me in that spot. I'm going to bust my butt and become an awesome wrestler. And she has. Awesome stuff.
I hate the term, but she was just as much as important for the Divas Revolution as you know, as the Charlotte and Sasha and Becky mm-hmm. were. Like, she was really the one that kind of put everything, like, hey, listen, it's not just about us girls with, you know, with big tits or whatever. It's like, dude, we can really go. And she's really been at the top for like a good 2-3 years.
Yeah, agreed.
Even well, you're like, if you're that like word, loving
if that,
this.
I am loving it, but if that word comes up again, let's use boobs. I'm just
breasts.
Boobs. No, boobs.
Bosoms.
Okay.
The bosom.
Bosoms. I think bosoms.
You know
is the
what? I should have just let it slide.
Nikki's Bellas. How about that?
Her Bellas.
Oh, I like that. Okay. I like that. Well, it's interesting that you guys thought Naomi was going to take this because she certainly looked strong in the beginning. She took everyone outside mm-hmm. the ring with a springboard, a super blockbuster powerbomb mm-hmm.
that
with
was
Natty
cool. that was
to
cool.
eliminate Alexa. Mm. But then poor Naomi got eliminated. And I got to ask you guys about this because it seemed like the story was being set up so well. And then she was looking strong and then she just tapped so quick.
Mm.
And I just wanted her to give it just another few seconds before she hit that mat. Am I nitpicking because the match was so good? Is that what it is?
But the match was so good and so long, it made sense to me because she didn't just fight Becky that night. She fought five other people, including Becky.
Right.
That you can get away with what realistically could be one more beat before actually tapping out. where it's like, well, no, she fought five other women.
I hear what you're saying, Kaufman. I actually I agree with Christie's assessment in the sense that, like, you do want that little bit of doubt as a fan when you're watching that moment. Does she tap? Is she going to tap? Will she tap? And then, boom, she taps. It was a little bit of a quick finish. Mm. As anybody knows anything about pro wrestling, the referees, you give you the go-home sign. They give you 60 seconds. They give you 3 minutes, whatever it is. Once Vince is in your ear telling you to go home, you tap. So that's probably what was happening here. But again, I do hear what you're saying, Christie. Maybe a little more drama mm-hmm. for the end would have been nice, but
yeah.
But really a great finish. Once Becky's holding that belt, like all of it's forgotten. It's
and like especially awesome since belt. We have a post-match interview.
Oh, that was cool too. Yeah.
I love a good post-match interview, and it was obvious that was part of the reason the go-home happened, because you need to have that time for Renee to get out there, hold the mic.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, the way that SmackDown has been doing, and even Raw lately, just ever since the brand extension has happened, they've done different things with production, where they do have their correspondents coming into the ring at times where they never did. It seems more natural now, like... Mm-hmm. You know, you just won. What do you think? Yeah. Like, I love
not that. Not to compare it to, like, you know, a sport. Obviously, we cover the UFC, but sometimes we want to hear somebody. We want to hear from a guy who just became the world champion. You know how cool, you know, those real life emotions. And yes, you know, it may be scripted, but it's still real emotions for a lot of these people that have been working their ass off to become, you know, the top person in their division.
And I have had issues in the past with some of the correspondents, and we always sit here, we talk about wrestlers all day, but for a moment I want to talk about Charlie, what's her last name?
Caruso?
Charlie Caruso, who's not only beautiful but articulate, talented, with great timing, great sense, great taste. Really love the work she's doing, and so you put her in the ring immediately after, she makes it feel natural. She makes it feel real. Her reactions are real. I really appreciate the work she's doing and thought it was great to include her in the end of that match. So
I'm glad you've noticed that too. You know, she seems to have more of a point of view than the other ladies before her. They're letting her have an opinion. She doesn't come off as cookie cutter. She seems like a real reporter out there doing a real job. I appreciate it. I can't say enough about how great she is. I was going to tweet her before I forgot.
And she's got
Charlie,
some,
you're doing well.
She's got like biceps and tries. She's got buys and tries going. Like, I'm like, I'm down.
I'll look her up and see what she's been up to.
I'm pretty sure it would be.
She knows a lot of good stuff.
Pretty sure it would be next to impossible to work at that company and then to ignore personal fitness.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I think.
Although the Universal champ might maybe disagree with you.
But
as much as I love Kev, I love him.
But he's still going to the gym. Like, it's not like he isn't going to the gym.
Right, yeah.
He's also eating. Like, I guess he's also having food.
Some meals in between.
Yes. Well, congratulations to Miss Becky Lynch for becoming the inaugural SmackDown Women's Champion. However, some of the boys not faring so well backstage. This is where we start to find out.
Actually, Christy, before we move on, do you want to hear what our fans had
yes.
to say?
I would love to. My apologies. Steve, why don't you tell us?
0% of our fans thought Alexa Bliss would win this match.
Yeah, but 100% of them thought she was absolutely dazzling
she was
tonight.
Best dressed of this match. And I also want to point out something different from the Divas and the Divas Revolution to the Women's Revolution we're in now. That everyone in this match dressed up like it was the big debut, the big show, including Alexa Bliss, who dressed like Harley Quinn. But we didn't mention it at all. We were too busy talking about this 14-minute awesome match.
Yeah.
I love that we live in this world.
Yep.
Yes, that's a good point. Nikki Bella was Superwoman.
Wonder Woman.
She got 26.3% She got 26.3% of the vote. Naomi with 5.3%. Natalya got 10.5%. Carmella with the same. And 42% of you guys thought Becky Lynch was going to take this, and y'all were right.
AfterBuzz fans, that is a shock to me that you would have actually voted for Becky Lynch. I would have put my vote on Nikki Bella just because of the history and how she'd be able to carry it.
I
think that Becky is ready. I just wouldn't have voted for her. I didn't think she was going to win the match.
I honestly thought if it were Raw, if this, let's say the women's title went to SmackDown and then Raw was having these six women, I would have went with Nikki Bella.
Okay.
Because that would have been a Raw
thing. But SmackDown then changed it for you.
SmackDown needs to have Becky Lynch as the face of that division.
Gotcha.
Versus Raw. That Raw needs to be differentiated. Like, be different. Be differentiated.
Well, a couple more.
Just different.
Be different. But, like,
few more thoughts from our fans. Matt G in the chat, who I haven't seen before. Welcome, Matt G. I think the way that the six-pack match went was perfect. All the women looked good. Agreed. Anything you guys would like to add about those ladies? They deserve our praise.
Oh, Chattel or us? You talking about us?
No, you know, sorry,
okay, sweet, yeah. You know, just really great work from all of them. It's going to be interesting to see how Becky carries the company's title on SmackDown. One thing I do want to mention real quick, not really the first women's championship on SmackDown. We had the women's championship with Beth Phoenix as recently as 6 years ago. That was the women's title. It was not the Divas title. So I wish
there
was
Did they call it the SmackDown women's?
No, they call it
They just call it the women's championship.
They had the women's because they had the Divas championship as well.
But it was exclusive to one of the shows. So I get why they're doing it.
Also, the women's championship that Beth Phoenix held has its lineage back to like Mae Young.
Right.
And Fabulous Moolah, which would have been the oldest championship in the history of wrestling.
Yeah.
Mainly because she didn't defend it for like decades, but still had it. But still counts. Because she owned it. Moolah owned it, not a wrestling federation.
Well, I bet she never could have imagined that in X amount of years, we'd be sitting here spending most of our show talking about the ladies.
That's right.
That's right. Well, let's turn our attention to Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt. Everyone was wondering what was going on with him. We heard rumblings that Orton was out. We saw a little backstage spot and found out why. Had a little scuffle with Bray Wyatt there backstage. Were you guys surprised to see that? Because I was assuming, well, if he's not going to be there and he's not clear, then what is he doing during this?
I think they had just found out that he wasn't going to be able to perform. At least I saw that today, that headline today. So I figured he's still in the arena. Let's do something with him. Obviously, we didn't see him take any kind of physical damage. So it kind of doesn't surprise me how they did it.
But a great point to bring up is that if he's actually legitimately not medically cleared, that an RKO in the ring, which is what we ended up seeing on Bray Wyatt, is a physical liability for him to perform that.
Yes.
Taking a bump at 8 feet in the air and landing is so you have to wonder where the doctor stood on this. So maybe they said, okay, you are medically cleared, but we're just worried that we don't want to like mess you up tonight. So just go out there, do your one bump and go home. But I thought it was strange to have him come in at all and do anything physical if if he's not really ready. You would never see Tom Brady get a concussion in the first quarter and then for them to go, just go do one more pass. Like, no, you know, he's out. So
well, you got to put that defense over.
That's right.
There are rumors that the Brock Lesnar rematch, it was supposed to take place in Chicago in a couple weeks at a live event between Randy and Brock Lesnar, is also up in the air. So we'll keep you posted on all
of that. I don't think they should ever like wrestle again. Like if you're Randy Orton, you're going to have to restructure your contract before you get in the ring with that dude again.
Pretty much.
Like, come on.
Well, some guys who are we gotta move on. Some guys who are making changes as well. The Usos are now some badass heels. This one is Jimmy and Jay versus the Hype Bros, Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley in a rematch for the contendership for the tag team match. So this got a little bit rejiggered and we're gonna see it again. We were wondering on the SmackDown after show if they would come out with their face paint still. Not really a heel thing. They did not. So, would they still play hard? I don't know.
I like the heel Usos.
Yeah.
Like
everybody seems to.
It's a good change for them. They've kind of had the same character for like a good few years. I was trying to think like when they first came in, there was like a good time where they were both healthy and they just weren't there at all. And not on TV. So I'm kind of happy that finally these guys get to show at least another side of. I know they first came in as heels with Tamina, but those Usos are different than these Usos. And I kind of like seeing what these Usos are going to have to offer.
I'll miss the haka. I'll miss the traditional dance. I've always loved that, whether you're watching rugby from the New Zealand League or whatever. You see these guys getting into it so passionate. I'll miss that. And I think that even as heels, that could still remain. We didn't see it tonight. What we did see was two pairs of the sweetest, flyest Nike Dunks I've ever seen. And they wrestled in them, and they were badass. All black with the hoodies, white hoodies, and the white shoes. Really love this. These dudes are from where I grew up in the Bay Area in San Francisco. They're from there. The Bay has two kinds of people. They have the .com people who have infiltrated, and they have sort of these like this sort of like hood style, laid back, chill kind of people. And they took on that character tonight more than ever. They were more themselves than they've ever been tonight. And I could see this being a run where they are heel for a while, but people start to just realize how cool they are, and it becomes their legit run later on down the road. They stay with the black, they stay with the white Dunks, but they become baby faces who just are cool instead of the bright colors, sort of John Cena tag team that they were for a while. That's just my thought on it, you know.
I like that.
No, I like that too. I agree that they bring like this team I saw tonight was the team I've always wanted the Usos to be.
Yeah.
Because in the past, like, I've had a lot of issues with just and somebody even said it once they got drafted to SmackDown, like a couple weeks in, they were like, we figured it out, guys. we need to keep the Usos away from Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
We need to literally have them on a completely different show.
You know, George Hermosa and I actually work for a company here in Southern California called PCW. It's a fantastic... And by the way, Christy Olsen,
I'm
sorry. You're sitting right there. We all work for this company. Tonga Kid's son, Fatu, mm-hmm. works for us there now too. And he's like that. You know, he comes in with like baggy clothes and just... He's cool as hell, but you know, he's like, yo, what up, Os? And everything's just real chill. He's himself and he shines that way. I think Jimmy and Jay will shine being mm-hmm. able to be themselves.
Like it. I need to start get hired by a wrestling company.
Yeah, come on, yeah.
How? Just to...
Well, they ended up using that same move on the Hype Bros of what put American Alpha out, and they take the win with Jimmy making Mojo tap out, and they received the chance to go up for the tag titles later in the evening. Mm.
Which only 5.3% of our audience felt wouldn't happen. This match didn't fool anybody.
You guys are good.
Yeah, they're good. They're really good.
Well, I wonder what they thought about this fun little backstage segment with Renee, Rhino, Heath Slater. Heath is freaking out. Bula made some mock crab salad. He's not feeling well. I don't know if everybody in the world knows what mock crab salad is, but like in Middle America, where we don't have like real seafood, we eat mock crab salad, and it's not good.
Is that the part they put in like sushi?
Yeah,
like
probably.
Like the fake crab or whatever
that I
love, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
I love it. So good.
But this was a fun one. Gave us a little bit of a setup for later. Now let's move in and talk about a surprisingly fantastic match. Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz with Maurice.
Wait.
Oh, you want to talk about the mock crab?
No. Why is that a surprise?
Okay, well, this is the third time that Dolph Ziggler and The Miz have gone up against each other for this title at a pay-per-view. We've seen them go up against each other quite a bit.
But is it a surprise to you that they had a great match? I'm curious. I have to challenge you here, Christy, because you did say it was a surprise.
I was expected to be bored by it.
Okay.
I honestly was.
Okay.
Just because, you know, me, I'd get bored easily.
I thought you were surprised by the outcome, and I was about to challenge you on that.
I mean, we knew Ziggler didn't have a chance, but he sure made me think for a second that he did.
Yeah.
Once it got started, what did you guys think about this?
Oh, this match was great. Like, these two guys really just got to go. It was 18 minutes. It was the second longest match of the night. Like, we had enough false finishes, we had enough stuff that we got to just, like, maybe Dolph Ziggler could win. And Dolph Ziggler, after losing to the champion, gets to now look like the equal to the Intercontinental champion.
Yeah, Dolph was really selling this arm injury from the outside. Miz pulled out a couple of the bow and arrow stretch, an inverted surfboard, and then he stopped Dolph Ziggler. You actually hear Dolph say at one point, "Oh, Jesus." Did you guys catch that? I was like, oh my gosh, is he okay? Miz dominated for a long time. Ziggler turned it around, but then Miz kind of ran his shoulder into the corner post. My note is these two are beating the crap out of each other.
I mean, just to kind of defend Christy, I didn't think this match was going to be bad. I thought it was going to be good, and you know, I think Ziggler is a great worker. I think Miz is a great worker. I didn't think it was going to be that good.
Mm. Yeah,
I think that was kind of maybe the main point, because I again kind of going back on that whole Dolph Ziggler. I'm not Ziggler. Miz and Daniel Bryan promo. I know you might have a few things to say about that promo that maybe can segue into the match. That, you know, obviously maybe like a soft style, but it seems like if that were the case, we saw Miz kind of not work a soft style that maybe people have been saying that he does. I personally disagree. Mm. As far as, like, obviously he's that's the WWE style, and
yeah.
I mean, whatever, but like I really think Miz kind of showed a lot that, hey, he's not exactly as soft then, and he never really needed to be anyways, but like, yeah, I think that he showed a lot that he can hang with just as much as anyone can.
And I think what he was really saying was that he works a safe style. Like,
that's what he was saying.
Not that there's anything wrong with that either.
I work a not get hurt style.
Yeah, by the way, that's what Bryan Danielson was saying too. He was saying that he works a safe style. He just said it in the most pretentious way. He never said anything. And I think Daniel is going to have a lot of issues with that attitude going forward.
Agreed.
You know, being on a panel for the WWE with Vince watching and everybody, and being on the network, you need to protect your brothers and sisters in that company. You know, and by saying something so pretentious as, well, you just remind me of those soft dudes that we tried not to be like, I couldn't have disliked that comment more personally.
Mm.
I think there's no place for someone to judge a guy like Miz, who has been there for a decade. He's main evented WrestleMania. He's one of the only people on the roster who still gets genuine heat every single time he comes out. And quite frankly, I thought Brian was out of line by saying that. And I think what George had picked up on earlier was that Miz, even though Brian was out of line, maybe something cool happened here in that Miz said, well, you know what? My next big match, I'm going to prove you guys wrong. And Miz went out there and maybe he sweated a couple extra beads today for WWE.
I did like the fact that, going back to what you were saying, that he's still a heel. Like, he was out there, you know, hanging with Ziggler, showed that he can hang with anybody. But he's still that cocky heel that needed his wife to hairspray to spray the hairspray in Ziggler's face.
He doesn't need to win. He doesn't need to win clean. I like him as an Intercontinental Champion. I loved him as a World Champion way back when because he was a beatable champion.
It's like he probably didn't need to do that for Ziggler, but he did it anyways.
Of course.
And that's what makes you hate him, you know, and hate the character a lot more.
I walked away from that Talking Smack episode disliking Brian a little bit more because I just feel like don't do that, bro. Don't bury these guys who have just because he doesn't bump the way you bump doesn't mean he hasn't dedicated his life in the same way that you have. And so I'm off that, man. You can miss me with all that criticism of I'm an indie guy so I'm better than you. Get out of here with that stuff. I'm sorry. It actually pissed me off.
And especially someone like The Miz who, similar to someone like Nikki Bella, who granted did not come up through the indies, but came up through a business that did not want him there.
Yes.
And through a company that did not, or through a locker room that did not want him there.
JBL used to defecate in his bag while he was out in the match. This is literally the stuff that he went through, is the stuff of nightmares. Mm. And the fact is that Miz made such a great point during that promo, which was that I'm here. I'm healthy. I wrestle every day. I get heat. People want to see me get my ass kicked because I do my job the right way. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, man, I almost, like, they did that apology. I almost wish, like, it was a face-to-face where Brian legitimately apologized. And if Brian doesn't have a sincere apology for him, I know we're getting off track, but if he doesn't have a sincere apology for Miz, then he needs to go and, you know, check his ego. Because that's, just, you know, it's Miz is a killer in the ring.
I'm sure Brian had a sincere apology for Miz, just not on camera.
Not on camera.
That, like, I'm sure immediately, because we all looked at Miz's eyes in that promo.
Yeah.
And were, knew that it was a shoot. Like, knew, like, no, none of this was staged.
Right.
Miz knew Talking Smack was this real loose thing where he can grab the microphone and just respond to what was just said to him.
Yep.
And it was all 100% there.
Yep.
Then I'm sure immediately after, Daniel Bryan probably had to calm, after Miz calmed down and be like, I'm sorry, what I meant to say is you work a safe style and I was trying to work inside the system.
They've had issues ever since NXT 2011 when Bryan first came in. I mean, they've had these issues where Miz was always sort of, we could move on, but that has always been a problem and it's entertaining as hell. And I miss Bryan in the ring, but I want him to just like start to look at it a little bit less myopically, start to look more well-rounded at this is an industry where everyone that's there that can at least work belongs, and Miz belongs.
There's something, that's my favorite thing about wrestling, is there's not just one right way to be a wrestler, one right way to run a wrestling business. There's so many different elements that can create a successful wrestling or successful wrestling company.
Vince McMahon would have seen Seth Rollins 10 years ago and said, I'm never signing that indie mark. Yeah. I'm never going to have him over here. And now look,
Kevin Owens,
all these guys. Things can change. There's room for everybody, like George says, and that's what I got to say about that. So
absolutely. Our chat roll is weighing in. Joseph Boza says, maybe Daniel Bryan's still bitter that WWE won't clear him. I think that may be a good point.
Blame him.
Well, I think... It's not so bad, but I remember the three of us covered Tough Enough last summer, and Daniel Bryan was a judge, and you could tell he hated it.
That's true. Yeah.
You could tell hated doing anything like that that required him to not be in the ring wrestling, but be vaguely involved with the wrestling business. He's not as bad now, but there's still a pretty decent level of it with him right now that he's just like...
That's right.
I'm walking around. I feel for him, dude, but
let that manifest some other way.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, one man who we weren't sure if he would get in the ring this evening either is Bray Wyatt, as he lost his... Oh, we got to do that, too?
Real quick, our fans. This match did not fool our fans. 63% of them thought it would be The Miz. 31% of them thought it would be Dolph Ziggler. Yes, that about 5% in between means that's how many people thought it would be a no contest.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And the AfterBuzz fans win again. Good job.
The power
Miz
crowds.
Retains. Let's move on to Bray Wyatt, who got a surprise... opponent, Kane, in a no-holds-barred match, no disqualification. Kane came out right away. What?
Before that, Bray Wyatt got a win. Or, sorry, Bray Wyatt got a win.
I need to see the record books for... I mean, I think it does look like it was an official match, but I want to see.
Wikipedia officially listed Orton as the loser by forfeit. Okay. So that's Wikipedia knows everything.
And as I mentioned on the Google form, the... the decision that's made in the ring by the referee is the decision we go by. So 73.7% of our fans
were wrong.
Didn't get this one right.
Okay.
For those 15%, they're on to something.
They were on to something.
So that match officially happened.
Yes, that match officially happened. It was 24 seconds long.
All right, well, let's move on
that's
to the
how
one
long
that
it
we
actually
saw. The 10 count is 24 seconds.
So, Bray and Kane, I don't know that there's a whole lot to talk about here. It got pretty brutal with the tables and the chairs.
I did like that running senton. I mean, it was exactly how I thought it would go, to be honest with you. Nothing really surprised me about the match.
It was a Bray Kane match. We haven't seen Bray Kane in a while, so there was a certain level of, as Michael Cole would say, vintage.
Can I give myself a little cheap plug right here?
Please.
I was in Bray Wyatt's first ever pay-per-view match against Kane, SummerSlam 2013. I was the fireman that put out the fire. And a quick story is Vince looked at me in rehearsal, and he goes, you better put out that fire, but first, count to 10 seconds. So I'm there. He lights the. First of all, it was supposed to be a chair. Mm. They decide to switch it to a kendo stick. Mm-hmm. So Luke Harper goes up. He lights the kendo stick. He drops it on the mat. And the fire goes out immediately. So I'm staring at the kendo stick for 3, 4, 5 seconds. It is not lit at all. I'm staring, and I know I have to put it out. So I go up to it, and I put it out. I get thrown into the wall by Luke Harper. And the next night, I got slapped by Ryback in the face, which I thought might have been punishment for not waiting the whole 10 seconds.
The whole
it's
10
possible.
Seconds on the not flaming.
On the non-flaming kendo stick. So that was a little strange, but you can go back, check out that match, Bray versus Kane. And Bray couldn't be a cooler dude, and one of the coolest people I've ever met. And Kane, a genius. I love Glenn Jacobs. If you look him up, he's brilliant, politically speaking, and everything. Love these guys. But anyway, I wanted to plug myself because, why not?
No, I wish we had more time to ask you about that.
That's cool. Yeah, it was pretty cool being a fireman at Staples Center. Pretty cool stuff. So,
well, of course, we all saw Randy Orton come out. RKO to Bray. Kane choke slams him and pins him. Kane wins this match that was for nothing and meant nothing.
Well, Bray Wyatt. Other than that, Bray Wyatt does not need to win.
Right. Okay. Well, that's the point.
I think
anyway.
He does, but
we can
go to the next one because I think we can talk a lot more about it on a different time. But yeah. I think he does need to win.
That's right. Well, we did see a quick announcement for the next pay per view for SmackDown, which will be No Mercy from Sacramento. We will be looking forward to that. We will, of course, be covering it here on AfterBuzz TV. Gentlemen, is the chat roll being funny?
Someone wrote, turn on the water, because that's what Ryback said to me. AJ03014.
And quick correction, the next SmackDown pay-per-view is No Mercy.
That's what I said.
Okay, never mind. The next pay-per-view we're here is Clash of Champions.
Oh, that's
correction
right.
On your correction,
Raw has
Kaufman.
To have one, too. Raw's
by the way, Kaufman
one
with
too.
Two N's.
Kaufman.
K-U-F-M-A-N-N-N.
Minnanannan.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a shower right back. It's too much. I stop reading the chat roll. All right. Next, we had for the SmackDown Tag Team title match, the Usos versus Heath Slater and Rhino. I got to say, I thought for sure the Usos were going to take this one. Our AfterBuzz fans put Heath Slater and Rhino at 47.4% and the Usos at 47.4%. Wait, am I reading this correctly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They tied exactly,
and then 5.3%.
The
same 5.3% that said Hype Bros. Obviously, they were just sticking with their predictions. 5.3% say Hype Bros.
The font on that 7 is the weirdest.
Yeah,
7.
The font
is 7
two.
Is the weirdest
that 7
of all.
Is it looks also
like a P.
A question mark? It looks like a question mark.
It's an upside down question mark or a P. I'm looking
it looks
for
like a P that would go in the front.
I'm
of
looking
like
for
a
P on that screen. I don't see
4P.4.
I feel that I should take control of this, but it's pretty entertaining. Well, let's talk about the match, guys. This started off with the Usos looking pretty strong. Heath cannot make a tag to Rhino. They were double teaming all over the place. We got some We Want Rhino chants. Jay and Heath collided in the ring at one point. That looked pretty gnarly.
Yes.
Heath finally makes that tag. Rhino runs in, hits Jimmy. The ref doesn't see it. This gets a little dirty. What did you guys think?
Enjoyed it.
Yeah? But not a ton? What?
The thing about tag team wrestling, and maybe I'm speaking for you, Kaufman, but give me a sec, because I agree with you. Like, enjoyed it. Like, I get that, right? Because the thing about tag team wrestling is it requires this is a real thing. Tag team chemistry is a legit thing. It's not just what they call out in the ring. The more you work with your partner and the more you work with your opponent, the better you get. This is basically Rhino and Slater are really new to each other. Mm-hmm. And that could be a little bit of a I love seeing those tag moves.
Yeah.
I tag you in, we double team, boom, boom. You go out, you tag me in, we double team. You've seen New Day perfect this. Mm-hmm. That's what's missing from them, I think, at this point. But that's not what this match was about. This match was about getting Heath over, and boy, is he so over. I love it.
Pretty much, like, minus the main event, probably the most over person on the card. I'll own that. Like, he was the most over. He got two segments. Like, he pretty much just owned it.
Yeah, and I think Heath Slater deserves it. I think that when they gave him this ball a month and a half ago with the free agent stuff, and his promos are so real, so sincere, so authentic, he has taken this babyface thing, even though they've sort of booked him somewhat like a heel still throughout it, that he's been able to take the babyface stuff and just get people to follow that dangling carrot of wanting to see what happens to him next. Yeah. And I love it.
I enjoy this a lot more. Then he had a similar success, and I don't know why he got axed, but like I guess it would have been about 4 years ago on Raw, where he would have Legends come out, like he would constantly berate Legends, and
leading
like
up to Raw 1000,
leading up to the Raw 1000 beatdown of Heath Slater, and then we never saw Heath Slater again. And I'm happy they're still using him. I'm happy they finally found a place for him. I also want to see episodes of Talking Smack moving forward, of other GMs talking about, man, Jinder Mahal wasn't a great pick now that we think.
Oh, wow. Because
Heath Slater is a tag team, actual champion.
Right.
What's Jinder Mahal been doing?
Yeah, and how much better looking are these championships than the copper ones on Raw? Like, I always thought that the issue was the actual plate on the belt itself, but once they quickly moved it to the silver look with the blue straps, like, I'm like, oh, these aren't ugly at all. They're actually awesome.
Yeah, I always loved the design of the bronze ones. I hated that they were bronze.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Only because bronze in sports is third place.
Right, right.
Which is funny because in WWE parlance, we have a gold, silver, and a bronze tag team title.
Right. Yeah, I always looked at the tag team championships on Raw as something that they put when you go to the theme park and you put a penny in and you crank it. That's what would come out, like a flattened title.
We're the penny champs.
Heath Slater needs a good looking title to hang up in his new double wide.
I'm a big fan of Heath Slater. Going back to what you were saying, I think for the past few years, it's kind of a shame that it took this long, but maybe it kind of made you appreciate it a lot more. That Heath Slater has been knocking out of the park no matter what he's been doing, whether it's 3MB, whether it's Social Outcast. Like, I really think, like, every single time they give him a mic or give him airtime, every single time. I think about like a year and a half ago, he had that win over Seth Rollins. I was like, finally they're going to do something with Heath Slater. But then again, nothing. I was like, so finally, I think, I wish, I can happily say that I hope it's true. Finally, they're going to do something with Heath Slater. Like, but like going back to what you're saying, I wish it was like an actual tag team.
Yeah.
Not just kind of like this thrown together.
I wish it was him and Jinder Mahal, because they are already
somebody
he was already tagging with.
We've seen like teams get thrown together and then be very successful. I just don't see that Heath Slater Rhino.
I'll tell you right now where this is going, Hermosa. This is going to a place where I want it to go, and I'm telling you it's going there. And that's the fact that you will see Rhino turn on Slater and have a Slater Rhino matchup in which Rhino's a vet, and he will put Slater over. And when they come out of that, you could see Intercontinental and U.S. title runs from Heath Slater. Ultimately, maybe a world title run, who knows? But I just think that this is perfect. Mm. Have them be best friends. Have Rhino kill him. Have Slater grow over. Now Slater's a big star.
Hopefully, at least maybe he'll be the one that ends the Miz's reign.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad we talked that out, guys, because I was like, where are they going with this?
Oh, yeah. Because the reason our fans were split on between Usos and Slater and Rhino was, did we want to give them the championship right now, or do we want them to chase the Usos?
Yeah.
Because if Slater loses, he would still presumably have to chase the Usos, and he's still not.
And to your point,
do we want to play that to No Mercy?
And to your point, do we want him to continue to chase the contract, which no longer is a thing now? Because the idea that he was a free agent was one of the coolest parts about him. Because
he'd show up on both shows.
He'd show up on both shows. Hungry.
Lesnar, he would have to like stare down with Lesnar. Like, it was awesome.
He has a new son every week. You know, so yeah.
Oh, well, I'm glad we got that all figured out, boys. And now let's head into our main event for the evening, AJ Styles versus Dean Ambrose for the WWE World titles, Steve. Tell them what they thought.
They thought AJ Styles, 68.4% against 26.3%.
That's crazy.
The remainder, obviously, would be a no contest.
You know what it was for me? I just figured Dean Ambrose has all this backstage heat on him still from what he said on the podcast about that Lesnar wouldn't work with him. And he's been healing it up lately when he's supposed to be a babyface. And I feel like they were just like, you know what, dude? We're done with you.
He's been goofing it up a little.
Yes.
Do you think that's
what led to him losing the title tonight?
No, I think AJ Styles has been on fire since they brought him in at the Royal Rumble. It's time.
I don't know, Steve. I don't think it has anything to do with either of those two things. I do take it to the podcast, but I take it to Austin's burial of Ambrose, and you could call it justified or you don't have to. Whatever your opinion is, it was not appropriate for Austin to bury him in that public forum, in my opinion. Now, Stone Cold Steve Austin could do whatever the hell he wants to do. But I thought, this is your WWE champion. Wait till the cameras go off. Have a chat with him. It wasn't the right place for that. It was bad. And I think when Austin says somebody's no good or somebody, he didn't say that in fairness. He said he needed improvement in his own way. And I think that once that happens, the minds of the fans who maybe didn't think that before start to second guess it. And Ambrose's stock goes down. This is a direct result of Stone Cold's lack of confidence in Dean Ambrose, in my humble opinion.
No, I feel with like Dean Ambrose, I feel like he's kind of was like the forgotten champion. A lot of effort has been put into especially the Universal Champion and, you know, Finn Balor and now Kevin Owens. I feel like, oh yeah, Dean Ambrose is WWE champion. Like, I don't know. And I like Dean Ambrose a lot. I just felt like he very forgotten in some ways.
Yeah, because my favorite part of that interview was when he said Brock wouldn't work with him. Yeah.
Me too.
You know what I mean? Because like, yeah, what the hell, Brock? You know, and I don't tell him I said that, but that's real. And then when Austin did say like, oh brother, you gotta step it up, man. Nobody really cares. Like, they can't do that, man. Really, that just really disappointed me. Just like, that's the same thing with Daniel Bryan. Like, you can't do that. There's a time and a place for that. These conversations happen all the time in pro wrestling locker rooms. There, you walk through the curtain, no matter how over you are, you get chewed up by six people before you get to the locker room, and you're humbled, but nobody ever knows the wiser from the crowd's perspective. Austin really buried him, man. I thought it was in bad taste, and we now see him without the title, and this could be a long time until Ambrose is poising himself for that championship again, unless he turns heel and has a phenomenal run, no pun intended.
But maybe things are changing, especially with that belt. I feel like, and maybe this is why I'm not a wrestling promoter, but in my eyes, the champion should be the best guy on your roster, and maybe it has nothing to do with that. Maybe it just flat out, AJ Styles is the best guy on the roster. Why not just give him the belt?
Can we just take a second to just really praise AJ Styles?
Yes.
Honestly, AJ Styles was a guy that I'm sure Steve and George and Christy and myself have watched for years. Not. Yeah, play that music, babe. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Mark Zonica.
Thank you, Mark. The TNA world champion, ROH champion at times, the PWG champion. This is an indie star who is 38 years old, who is the WWE, and by the way, is as good as he has ever been in every facet of the game. He is now the world champion. I couldn't be happier for AJ as a person, who's one of the coolest people you will ever meet in your life. One of the nicest, most genuine family men you'll ever meet. He is wearing the WWE Championship tonight. I'm so stoked about that, man. Good for AJ, man. Really.
Me too. And I know, like, I'm not supposed to like AJ Styles, the character on TV, because he's a bad guy, but I'm like, I'm really happy for AJ Styles, the career man. Like, the man who wouldn't have been anyone's choice a year ago to be the WWE champion right now.
Let alone be in the WWE in general.
Yeah. Like, he would have been nobody's choice to come in, even, like, with the Royal Rumble, with the rumblings around the Royal Rumble. Yes, that pun was intended. I thought they would send him down the NXT like they send everyone to, partially to humble them.
Yeah.
But nope, straight to the main roster, owns it every step of the way. He's earned exactly what he's gotten today.
And I think it goes back, like, it's a long-term thing. I remember covering the WrestleMania show, a lot of people were bashing, like, oh my god, how do you have AJ not go over Jericho at WrestleMania? It's like, dude, this is a long-term thing. Just because he loses one match at Mania doesn't mean he's not a made man. Guess what? Currently, he is the WWE World Champion.
Although I did, George, get worried a little bit about his ability, like how his bump card, we call it. Yeah. How many bumps this guy's got left? Does he have a year's worth of bumps, 2 years worth of bumps? And so because he's 37, 38, it was a struggle for me to see him lose a couple. But now, he's a champ. And no one can ever take that away from him. And he might, just this one run right here, he might retire in a year. I'm just speculating. That's not a real thing. Mm-hmm. But if he retired in a year, he still already may be a WWE Hall of Famer based on just the resume before this and the fact that he is now a WWE champion 7 months into his career. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal job by
AJ. Well, this definitely solidifies it.
Yeah.
WWE buying TNA's tape library on a future date would also solidify. That would help a lot.
Yeah.
That would help a lot of guys become Hall of Famers that have never worked there.
Yeah. I think Billy Corgan's just going to sell it to Vince. Like that was, he was like the transitional owner. He's just going to take it and sell it straight to Vince.
I think he's going
to
try for like a year.
Maybe a year. We'll see.
I don't know. He's pretty into it. He might give it like a year and a half.
Hey, real quick, fantasy booking. Can we talk real quick?
Please,
can we please bring up Samoa Joe?
Let's just wrap. No.
wait.
Can we call? Go ahead.
I was going to make a joke about how fantasy booking that never happens on this show.
Can we please make it a point before Royal Rumble to call up Samoa Joe and see Joe and AJ in some form? Whether Cena gets the title back from AJ and Cena becomes champ, just I need to see Joe and AJ, and I don't want to wait any longer.
Only if we get a Samoa Joe call up, we also need to see Samoa Joe Cena.
Yep.
That needs to happen.
And Samoa Joe Brock. Can we please see that?
Mania.
Please?
That would be Mania.
That's Mania.
Can we throw in Nakamura in there somewhere?
Gentlemen,
I mean, it is kind of like a full
the
circle.
The dirt sheets say it's all going to happen.
Well,
they say
you have
he's
to
coming
oh, it's all
going
to happen.
Because
yeah.
you have to have a Nakamura Cena
yeah.
before Mania, and then you have to have a Nakamura Taker at Mania. Yeah. We're going to fantasy book, guys. Let's go.
Yeah.
just to kind of you know, blow the internet's load real quick, just think about it. You have AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, and Nakamura as, like, the main WWE champions.
Yeah.
How cool is that, you know?
It is cool.
We live in a great time.
In a time where the late Mr. Fuji is being laid to rest, legendary Hall of Famer Mr. Fuji, we have two Japanese champions in NXT. Mm-hmm. This company, WWE, and everything under its umbrella is as good as it has ever been. And if you're one of those people who goes, oh, all I watch is NXT, I challenge you to get on the Raw and SmackDown products. It is as good as it has ever been. I promise you that. And you know what? They don't need bras and panties matches, which I dug, right? I was 12. I was cool with it. But the fact that it is a wrestling show with indie stars leading the way, man, kudos to Vince, kudos to Triple H, and kudos to the whole company.
Kudos to a lot of people. Kudos to maybe guys like CM Punk, Daniel Bryan. I think they kind of helped with that.
Sure.
Because now we're seeing, like, you know, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. Like, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, I know a lot of people praise the Attitude Era. Personally, I think the Attitude Era is a little overrated as far as
agreed.
Why they like it. I think it's more so the roster that made that
I think
era
it's
so
not
great.
Incredibly rewatchable.
That's true. That's surprisingly true, yeah.
The Austin and Rock promos are rewatchable.
I think
those are awesome.
Roster was more why they were great. Not the FUs and the bras and
the cards.
More so.
I think if you were to pull up a random pay-per-view from the mid-90s and try to watch it start to finish.
But to think even now, 2016, it's like 5 years ago, you know, they had, you know, one way of thinking. But now it's like the all-star, like probably, like there's very few guys that are very like top 10 that WWE doesn't have.
Yeah.
And I think it's only a matter of time before they do get to WWE.
Right. They just got to sign me and Christy Olsen and we'll
pretty
be good
much.
To go.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, and on that note, let's wrap this up. You guys, this has been so much fun. I feel like we had a great show. I don't really care what anyone else thinks, although the chat rollers seem to have fun as well. And we do appreciate you all for hanging out with us. I know it's late, so we do appreciate that. And guys, if they want to keep this conversation going, because you have such great thoughts, and I hate to even cut you off anyway, where can they do that, Christian Cole?
You can find me at Christian Cole on all social media formats at XDN Cole. You can also watch me on Paragon Pro Wrestling every Thursday. Day on the Fight app. That's FITE app. Download the app. Check out Paragon Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
You guys can find me on Twitter almost exclusively at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. Special shout out to Daniel Clayton. He is our AfterBuzz TV predictions champion. It came down to the tiebreaker, and I think it was a 3 or 4-way tie. Please stick with us with that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So, what do they get?
Prestige! Hello!
We're actually working on that right now. We'll be making an announcement on the official Twitter, which is WWE, or excuse me, ABTV PPV Champ.
And Mark Donica, I forgot to introduce you in the first place. I apologize. Please That's tell everybody where to find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. I am the host of the NXT After Show every Wednesday, and this week we're going to be doing two episodes of the CWC. We're going to be doing one Monday night at 11 p.m. and one Thursday at 8 p.m. Please join us. It's going to be a good time.
Nice.
Awesome. G-Herm?
G-Hermosa, G-H-E-R-M-O-Z-A, all the social media things. Follow me. Give me money.
All right. Well,
are you straight up just pimping your Venmo at this point?
Oh, I need to get one of those. Venmo?
You need to get a Venmo. Just pimp your Venmo.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
A Patreon. I
will do that.
All right. However, well, I won't ask you for money. I will just ask you to please subscribe and download Xbox 12360. We are on iTunes and YouTube, in with all the other great AfterBuzz TV programming. And you can always hit me up at Christy Reports on Twitter and Instagram and all that good stuff. Guys, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with me. This was fun.
Yes.
We're going to be back for a couple of weeks for Clash
of Champions.
Clash of the Champions, just Clash of Champions.
Clash of Champions, not the Champions.
It's a new PPV.
Yeah.
We'll get it down before then. Thanks for hanging out, guys. We will see you next time. Adios.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.